All right. Well, great evening to y'all. Amen. If you would stand if you can, we're going to start out by singing Revelation song with Holy, Holy, Holy. Mystery. Holy, holy, holy a pure voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon. Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The heavens declare your greatness, the oceans cry out to you. The mountains, they bow down before you. So I'll join with the earth and I'll give my praise. Thank you. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. Amen. You want to do Pick a Hymn? Pick a Hymn? Okay. Anybody got a song? Name, title, lyric, tune. Two hymns. Yeah, one hymn. A hymn. Flipped over to How Great Thou Art. Ah, Lord God, a mighty fortress is our God. 387? All right, let's see what 387 is. Okay, Holy Spirit, they're all welcome. All right, 387. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Amen.
Good job, Jeremiah. Amen. That was a good job tonight. Very good, very good. All right. Let's see here. Praises or testimonies? Anybody? Praises or testimonies? Anything online? Praises or testimonies? Oh, amen. Okay. So praise for the live stream. Live stream. All right. Very good. Any other praises? Amen. For the Word of God? All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Prayer request. Continue to pray for Brother John in the hospital. Continue to pray for Fred Redman with his health, internal bleeding. And it looks like that's what John's got going on right now with him, internal bleeding. All right, got a test on Thursday for Fred. And we're waiting biopsy results on Brother John. Yeah. Yeah, he's said his hemoglobin's going down every time they test it, so he's losing blood somewhere. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. Okay, and then this morning, Ron went home sick, right? And then I got a text from Vince Kimball this morning that Terry was sick. So she, I guess she'll go get tested tomorrow. I don't know if Ron will get tested or not. Terry Kimball's sick. All right, what else? Uh-oh. From lunch? Okay. Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Oh, man, he may have the strep. Okay. Chuck Heibarger. So he's sick. Alita's sick. You know, you just go down the list. And this is a sixth person sick. First North Houston, Mike Westbury's church. They're in Aldine. They're on a two-week shutdown. Last week they had so many people out sick, I guess with the Omicron, that they decided they were going to cool it for 2 weeks. So they're on a two-week hiatus over there, but I guess it's going around. Chuck Heibarger's sick. What else? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay. Will, we're praying for his cancer and a test. Okay. And this is a friend of a friend? Okay. Yeah. Amen. So this is his wife's. Okay. And this is Ann's. Oh, Ann and Will are husband and wife. Okay. So. Okay. So Will has cancer and going to have a big test. Okay. All right. All right. All right. What else? What else? Anything else online? What's the name? Nathania?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard of that one. Nathania. All right, so she's pregnant. Okay. And we're just praying for a healthy baby. Oh, she's 19, hadn't told her parents. Okay. Got a lot going on there. All right. So we'll pray for that situation. That'll be, yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. Oh, whoa. Okay. So Linda Hudson, her granddaughter, the boyfriend's parents. Which granddaughter? Rihanna. Was this a local family? Tom. You know, I saw something on the Nextdoor app about two people being shot, but I never went and opened that thing up. Yeah, okay, so granddaughter, you said Brianna? So a murder-suicide, yeah. He found the parents. All right. Cody. My soul. Okay. What else? What else? Unspokens. Did that message today in Matthew help with the unspokens? Amen. Keep praying and persisting, right? Amen, amen. When we think maybe God's silent, maybe He's just drawing us in a little bit. He's drawing us in a little bit closer. Yeah. Amen. Amen, amen. What else? What else? Anything else? All right. Well, let's go to it, shall we? Amen. Our Heavenly Father. Frank, you got anything? No? All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We praise you and thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to intercede on behalf of others. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given to us. And, Lord, the change of weather already in the air. And, Lord, it just reminds us that you are sovereign and in control. And, Lord, we just trust in that. We lean into that, Lord. And we just thank you for holding us in your hand for all eternity, Lord. Thank you that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, from our salvation. We praise you and thank you for that this evening. Lord, we are thankful that we can get these messages out via live stream and video. And, Lord, we pray that they would continue to have an impact even days, months, years after the fact as they continue to recirculate there on the YouTube and people stumble across them. Lord, we pray that your word would continue to go forth and would draw all men, all women, all boys and girls to a saving knowledge of who you are. We praise you and thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can be in it and study it and try to receive some much-needed discipleship information about it. Lord, we just we come to you tonight, and as we think about these different prayer requests, so many in our congregation right now that we know of are sick or struggling, and Lord, there are probably many more that we don't know about. But Lord, we lift up John to you and Fred, as both of these men are struggling with internal bleeding. John with some ulcers, and Fred, they're not quite sure where the internal bleeding is happening. Lord, we pray for Fred's test this coming Thursday, and we lift Brother John up to you, Lord. We pray that they might give him that maybe a unit of blood or something to help get that hemoglobin back up. And, Lord, we pray that you just might heal those ulcers in his stomach as he's there still at the hospital. Lord, we lift up Ron Wade to you tonight. We pray for him as he went home from Sunday school not feeling well this morning. And we pray for Terry Kimball, as she was not able to come to church this morning because of sickness. And then Alita, Lord, we lift her up as she went home and had an episode of sickness on the way home. And then Chuck Heibarger, Lord, we pray for him and his upcoming doctor's appointment to figure out what's going on with him. And then, Lord, we lift up Bobby's friend, Will, with cancer. Lord, we pray your healing hand upon Will. We pray you might touch him. Lord, we don't know what this test is a coming, but Lord, we pray that Will would be able to receive the test, withstand the test, go through the test. And Lord, we pray you might use that diagnostic tool to bring healing to his body as that old cancer doctor is able to better treat him and get him going, that oncologist, Lord. We just pray for those, that cancer team, Lord, that they would take great care and help Will get over this sickness of cancer in his life. We lift up Nathania to you tonight, Lord. This young lady, 19 years old, pregnant, parents don't know, not married. Lord, we just pray for cool heads, and Lord, we pray that you might work out all the details of this baby being able to be born, whether she keeps it or puts it up for adoption. We just pray that you protect this little one in the womb, and Lord, allow this one to come have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy birth. Linda Hudson, Lord, we pray for her granddaughter's boyfriends. We pray for him as he goes through this loss of having both parents tragically taken away from him in this murder-suicide. We just pray for his mind. We pray for his, Lord, just his psyche. We just pray that you might encourage him, Lord, and may Linda be an encouragement to him and Brianna be an encouragement to him and other Christians and other believers. Lord, we pray you might rally them around Cody as they try to discern what happened and what caused it all. Lord, we pray that you would just be with that family as they now have to make funeral plans for two people in this tragic circumstance. And Lord, we pray in the midst of all this pain and suffering that, Lord, seeds of salvation would be sown and the comfort of God's word would be communicated. And Lord, the Holy Spirit would just show up in the midst of these funerals and memorials and would just touch people and turn them towards the gospel, turn them towards the cross. So Lord, we just lift that situation up with Brianna and Cody and Linda Hudson and all that's going on in that situation. Then, Lord, the unspokens, we just pray for those. Thank you, Lord, that we can persist in our prayers, specific prayers to you, Lord, and come to you, and we can lay those down at your feet. And, Lord, may we get down on our hands and knees at times and seek to worship you and continue these prayer requests on as we lift them up, knowing that you're a sovereign God and knowing that you're for us and not against us, and knowing that, Lord, you want breakthroughs and you want salvations and you want repentance and reconciliation just like we do. So, Lord, we just are partnering together and asking that Jesus might take these unspoken requests that we're lifting up to you, Lord, silently, that you might take those, Jesus, and just make intercession on our behalf. And we just praise you and give you the praise that is due your name for standing in the gap for us as you pray for these things for us. We love you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we, again, can be in your word. We pray you'd open our minds and illumine it to the truth, to the wisdom of your word tonight. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's word, we'll get you up one more time. We're in Revelation chapter 16, and we'll pick it up here in verse 17, and we'll read it all the way through verse 21. Let me just get a quick drink here. That is chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, and we'll take her all the way through verse 21. The Word of God reads this, those of you with us online, those of you with us here in the house tonight, the Word of God reads, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men," notice it says, "didn't repent." Men didn't turn to God to get saved, but men blasphemed God because of the plague of hell, because its plague was extremely severe." Thank y'all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, last time we met on this, which was Wednesday night, we ended that Bible study talking about this last plague. And basically, I think I mentioned we had one more Bible study on it, and then we'll have this chapter 17, which is going to touch back on this seventh bowl again. But as we kind of close out chapter 16, it's taken us, this is the eighth Bible study on the seven last plagues or these seven last bowls. But we were ending it, talking about how Babylon is plundered, that seventh bowl. We said it's the final outpouring of God's wrath, the final outpouring of His wrath on sinners in this present earth. We said after the consequences of the final outpouring, Jesus will come and set up His millennial kingdom. Now, we did make mention, and we said at the end of that thousand-year period, there will be one final act of rebellion, which will be quickly crushed per Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. But that judgment will not take place in the world as we know it now, for the earth will be changed dramatically before the kingdom arrives because of this seventh bowl, this seventh plague. We said last time, and I'm not going into great detail. If I did, we would just be re-preaching or re-Bible studying that Bible study, but just the high points. We said that the seventh bowl, the seventh plague, is last per the prophecy, and we read it on Wednesday, per the prophecy of Revelation 15:1. We said like the fourth angel, the seventh angel did not dump his bowl on the earth, but poured the contents of his bowl, poured it out upon the air. As the angel dumped his bowl, we said a loud voice, and we read it in the passage this evening, a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne. We said God's judgment of Christ on Calvary, remember that, God's judgment of Christ on Calvary provided salvation for repentant sinners. We said the judgment of the seventh bowl brings doom to unrepentant sinners. Remember that connection? We went to Matthew and we talked about that. The pouring out of the seventh bowl dramatically affected, we said, the atmosphere. We said there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, like the seventh seal of chapter 8, verse 5, and the seventh trumpet of chapter 11, verse 19. The seventh bowl is introduced, we were talking about, with the imagery of a violent thunderstorm. Though the seventh bowl was dumped on the earth's atmosphere, we went on to say this bowl will also have a devastating effect on the earth itself. Got some calls on this week. God will punctuate this final judgment against sinners with an earthquake, just as he did his judgment of sin at Calvary. Again, we were in Matthew 27, 51 through 54. We actually went to it and read that passage. Now, this earthquake will be the most powerful one ever to strike the earth. John described it as a great earthquake, such there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. It's going to be a big one, right? Big, huge. Now, while there have always been and will continue to be local earthquakes, this great earthquake will be unique in that God will shake the globe as prophesied in Haggai 2:6 and in the book of Hebrews. The shaking will be so severe that it will renovate and it will reconfigure the earth in preparation for the millennial kingdom, restoring the earth to something like its pre-flood condition, all right? Now, what does Pastor Lee and other scholars think the pre-flood condition of the earth was? All the continents were together. It was called Pangaea, right? And you could get anywhere. I mean, you could move and go anywhere. There was no ice cap, so to speak. There was no great mountain ranges. It was all Pangaea. You could just go. And what do you think the pre-flood, how many people do you think the pre-flood earth had? A lot. People lived to be what? 1,000? Right? Have kids until you're 500s? My soul. She's shaking her head no. Uh-uh. Right? Can you imagine the generations and generations and generations, right? And people upon people. I mean, man, that thing was huge. Population was huge. I think other scholars, some less, some more. I think there were 7 billion people. 7 billion people? Pre-flood earth? Yeah. Right? Yeah, 7 billion. A lot of people, right? Can you imagine? And so when the flood happens, and the water's receding, didn't take millions of years, didn't take billions of years, those continents came apart, and they in the present that you have them now. When this massive earthquake happens in the seventh, this seventh bowl, this final outpouring, those things coming back together. Pangaea, right? God always gets his way. Amen? What did he want? He wanted man to tend the garden and expand his influence from the garden out. Amen? Man's going to get another opportunity in the millennial reign to do that, right? Just saying. Amen? With me so far? All right. So the earthquake's effects. The first effect of this great and mighty earthquake was that the great city of Jerusalem was split into three parts. Now, we know this is the city of Jerusalem and not the city of Babylon. We know it's the city of Jerusalem because of the reference in 11. Did I include that? No, I did not. In chapter 11, verse 8. All right, 11:8, it says, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified." Where was Jesus crucified? Jerusalem. Amen? That's where he's crucified, right? Amen? Still with me? All right? So we know this city is the city of Jerusalem because of the reference of 11:8. That the great city is distinct from the cities of the nations offers further evidence that Jerusalem is in view. So the massive earthquake will split Jerusalem into three parts, beginning a series of geophysical alterations to the city and its surrounding region that will conclude when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so the balance of what's happening is found in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 through 10. All right, that kind of details it and lays it out for you in the prophet Zechariah. But just to kind of take you through some of the high points, the Mount of Olives will split in two, and a new valley running from the east to the west, running east and west, will be created per Zechariah 14:4. Zechariah 14:4 says, "In that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south." I don't think this is symbolic. I think this really does happen, right? I think it really does happen. A spring of water will flow year-round from Jerusalem to the Mediterranean and Dead Seas. Zechariah 14:8 talks about that. What is that going to do? That's going to cause the desert to blossom like a rose per Isaiah 35:1. Flowers will be everywhere. Jerusalem will be elevated and the surrounding region flattened into a plain per Zechariah again, chapter 14, verse 10. Thus, the purpose of the earthquake, this last big earthquake pouring out in the air, has these effects. Earthquake's one of them. The purpose of the earthquake as it relates to Jerusalem is not to judge the city, but to enhance the city, right? Well, preacher, doesn't Jerusalem get judged? Jerusalem was judged. Jerusalem has been judged earlier in the tribulation by another earthquake, an earthquake before this one, which led to the salvation of those who were not killed. Per Revelation chapter 11, verse 13, I'll read it to you. "And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven." So Jerusalem's already been judged. Still with me? Yes, yes? Amen? So far? Thus, there's no need for further judgment on that city. The physical changes will prepare Jerusalem for the central role it will play during the millennial kingdom. There's a cult, and I'm not going to mention its name and give it any kind of advertisement, but there's a cult, and it's pretty big here in our area. And I believe their eschatology talks about how Jesus is going to rule from, I want to say, Kansas City. He's going to rule from Kansas City. Not going to rule from Kansas City. Jesus is going to rule the thousand-year millennial reign from Jerusalem, okay? After the city is split in thrice, split three ways, right? Okay, so unlike Jerusalem, which was enhanced by the earthquake, the cities of the nations fell in this last final massive earthquake. I believe they all fall simultaneously with the defeat of Antichrist by the Lamb of God who comes like a lion, right? Naturally, such a powerful earthquake will cause massive widespread destruction. Specifically singled out is Babylon the Great, which was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath, which we've already studied and talked about that. Now, as the capital city of Antichrist's empire, Babylon, it will be in present-day Turkey, Babylon especially will be made to drink the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And as we get into the further Bible studies into chapter 17, we will cover more of that. The final effect of the earthquake, as noted above, is to prepare the earth for the millennial rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you get away from the thousand-year reign. There are some, call them Bible scholars, there are some Bible people that understand the Word of God, have studied the Word of God. They talk about all millennialism, right? There's not going to be a millennial reign. They talk about how the earth is just going to get better and better and better, and then Jesus is going to come back. What? Not like it's getting better and better to me. It's getting when you watch the news, is the earth getting better and better? No. Seems to be, if anything, seems to be getting a step worse, right? Every year, kind of every decade, every 25 years or so, you see kind of how the earth is just slipping a little bit further down that slippery slope, that pathway to a place called hell, or at least the inhabitants of the earth. To that end, the earth's topography will be drastically altered. Every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Islands, if you've ever been to, anybody ever been to islands? Hawaii, you been to Hawaii? No? Huh? Cozumel? Been to the island before? I went to the Ulithi Atoll. What is the Ulithi Atoll? It's in Micronesia. You ever heard of Micronesia? Halfway around the world, man. I went to the Ulithi Atoll, which was an island chain in Micronesia, which was a sunken volcano, right? The volcano had sunk, and the very top of that volcano were these chain of islands, right? Kind of a disconcerting feeling. You know, you come into land in Micronesia on the Ulithi Atoll, and the runway is literally the width of the island. Hope he don't overshoot, right? And you're coming in a twin-engine beach, polished aluminum, twin-engine beach, which a tail dragger, Brother Paul, would not maintain altitude on one motor. No, you lost one engine, it's controlled descent, you're shark bait. I remember having that conversation with a pilot. He's letting me sit right seat, he's flying left seat, and I'm asking about the performance characteristics of the airplane. Well, it sure is comforting flying over these open waters with two engines. He kind of chuckled and said, "What? You lose one of these, it's a controlled descent." He goes, "As heavy as we are, as grossed out as we are, you lose one engine." Everybody knew it. Everybody was nervous behind us, right? Because you're just... But islands, what is an island? Islands are undersea mountains. All of these things, the Bible says, will disappear, and the mountains on the land will be flattened, completing the process that began during the sixth seal. Revelation 6, verses 12 through 14. So that what was originally the topography of the world before sin entered the world and God judged the world with water in the great flood, that will be restored. God always gets his way. That will be restored. Scholars talk about a rolling topography. A rolling topography. How many of you like the hill country? Yeah, love it. I love the hill country, man. And there are parts of Europe, when you take away the great mountains, the mountain ranges, and the beautiful rolling topography. That's what she's going to be, friend. That's what the earth is going back to. Kind of a rolling topography. So basically, there would be no more, after this seventh bowl, after the consequences of it and all the effects of it, there will be no more inaccessible or uninhabitable mountain ranges or deserts or ice caps. I was watching one of my little documentaries. These guys on these bicycles, I'm into the bikes. Can't run anymore, so biking's all I got. So Just humor me. Amen. The knees and the hips are arthritic. Bike is all I can do. These guys wanted to take mountain bikes, which got the big tires on them, right? And got the little suspension forks and got the little, you know, so you don't feel all the bumps. I like those kind of bikes. Amen. And their game plan was to go to South America, Colombia. And they were going to find the highest peak in South America and carry those bikes up there. Yeah, carry those bikes up there and then get on those bikes on the other side of the peak after they've stood up on the peak. And they were going to have what is called the longest descent ever on a bike. And they were going to descend from the top of that mountain peak all the way to the ocean. I kid you not, they just about did it. They couldn't quite get the bikes up to the very top. Do you know why? Ain't no air up there. And they were unsupported with, they did not have O2 masks. It was all breathing on your own. So they would literally climb 12 feet and they would have to take a break. And they would climb another 12 feet and they'd have to take a break. One old boy, he thought he was going to take his bike up there. This guy's ridden around the world on a bicycle. He's ultra endurance. He finally said, I've reached my limit. He took that bike off. And he finally made it to the top. They were 22,000 something feet above sea level. I mean, the air was thin. What I'm telling you, and there's going to be no more of that. All of it's going to be accessible. No more inaccessible. No more uninhabitable. No more mountain ranges. No more deserts. Praise God for no more deserts. Amen? I'm for it. All in favor of no more deserts. Say, no more ice caps. Who wants an ice cap? Man, I do not want an ice cap. Right? Give me fresh water. Give me fish. Ice cap, you can keep the ice cap. Amen? No more ice caps. Pangea's coming back. Now, as we mentioned at the end of Wednesday night's review, as we were reviewing Wednesday night this evening, a pre-flood world is what we're talking about. So, which hypothetically will leave what city as the highest point on earth? Jerusalem. Bingo, you get a prize. If that indeed does happen, as your pastor and other scholars believe, Jerusalem as the highest point on earth, then that will be fitting in my mind and fitting for my heart to get a hold of the thought of that my great King, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ in the flesh, will rule from there during the millennium. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17 says, at that time they will call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations will be gathered to it, to Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord will, or nor, for the name of, for the name of the Lord, nor will they walk anymore after the stubbornness of their evil heart. That only leaves what? We've covered the earthquake. It's great. It's going to be a big earthquake. That leaves the hailstones, doesn't it? The worst weather phenomenon, I mean, I guess next to hurricanes and tornadoes and floods, is the hail, right? I don't know anybody who sees a green cloud coming and says, oh, hail's coming, right? Oh, let's get the lawn chairs out and watch the... Nobody. I mean, when you start hearing that stuff pinging around, remember... Those of you, we were in here several, I mean, it's a long time ago. We were in here and we actually, it was on a Sunday night, a hailstorm hit here. And we thought the roof was coming in. I thought the roof was coming in. Some of you old guys thought, that roof will hold up. And I thought the roof was coming in. I mean, it sounded like something in here. But anyway, the giant hailstones, where are we at? In verse 21. And huge, I'll be about finished here. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Those who somehow escape the devastation caused by the earthquake, they somehow escape it, they will face a weather phenomenon of biblical proportions unprecedented in Earth's history. The survivors of the earthquake will be pelted with huge hailstones about 100 pounds each that will come crashing down from heaven upon men. Now, unlike the seventh Egyptian plague in Exodus chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, and the first trumpet judgment of chapter 8, verse 7 of Revelation, the force of these hailstones spoken of here at the end of chapter 16 is going to be unimaginable. The Greek term translated about 100 pounds described really the most weight a normal man could carry. So we're talking about anywhere from 90 to 135 pounds. Now, some bigger men can carry more than 135 pounds, but the average guy, 90 to 135 pounds. So the question I pose to you is this: what do you think are the heaviest hailstones recorded in modern history? Anybody got an idea? All right. I'll share you some details. The largest hailstone ever measured in the U.S. was 8 inches in diameter. So that's not around. That's if you took the hailstone and cut it in two, and that would be from one point to the other point. So the diameter, right? Splitting it in half, all right? So it's 8 inches in diameter. That's pretty big hailstone. So it was 8 inches in diameter in Vivian, South Dakota on July 23rd, 2010. Get this, the Vivian hailstone was also the nation's heaviest. It weighed a whopping 1.94 pounds. So it was under 2 pounds, and it was 8 inches across. All right? The world's heaviest hailstone on record was a 2.25 pound stone in Bangladesh in April of 1986. So the biggest we've kind of seen in modern history, somewhere in the 2 pound range. Can you imagine the diameter of a 100 pound hailstone? 100 pound hailstone. Somebody's done the math for you. 100 pound hailstone is going to be about 30 inches in diameter. 30 inches. So that's 24. So 12 and 12 is 24. And then another 6. That's a big old stone crashing through, coming through. You think you hear that thing whistling through the air? That thing's zooming down. I don't know how fast it's going to be traveling. It's going to be rocking and rolling, man, when it hits the ground, when it hits somebody. So back to the cumulative effect. The earth, we've been talking about the cumulative effect. These things coming right at the other. The earthquake has destroyed, if not compromised, most, if not all, the structures. There ain't no place to hide. There ain't no place to get under because the earthquake has wrecked everything, right? So these hailstones will add to the devastation caused by the earthquake, and it will crush the remaining humanity, lost humanity. A further effect is the hardness of the hearts of those who survive. It says here, chapter 16, and men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Now, we are past any point of repentance or seeking God's face. We crossed that line when the Euphrates River dried up. There was no more of that, okay? So as judgment increases, those that escape, which their numbers are getting smaller and smaller, are resolute in their blasphemy against God. God's eschatological, this last time, last day's judgment, his eschatological and his eternal wrath is inevitable. No one can prevent, no one can hinder the judgment from coming. But as we've talked about going through these judgments, as we've talked about talking about how sad it's going to be for those who have rejected Christ, there is a way to escape his wrath, right? There is a way. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Those who by faith trust in Christ alone for salvation will escape both God's eschatological wrath and His eternal wrath. All of these things we've been talking about, we are already gone. We're off the scene. We've been raptured with the church. We're out of here, right? We're out of here. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We will not face judgment, right? We won't face it. Because our sins were judged when Jesus died in our place on the cross. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Amen? So, in light of the inevitable judgment to come, the warning to all unrepentant sinners is found in Hebrews chapter 4, 7. Today, if you hear His voice, those of you watching me online at a later date, those of you stumbled onto this at a later date, the Word of God says in Hebrews 4, 7, today, if you hear His voice, I'm talking about judgment out of the Word of God, today, if you hear His voice, the Bible says, do not harden your hearts. So for those of you watching online at a later date, are you hearing His voice? That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And what you would want to do at this point is go to the book of Romans, right? And in the book of Romans, there are some verses that I'm going to give you right here, right now. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. 3:23, 6:23. Romans chapter 5, 8, 5 verse 8. Romans chapter 10, 9, 10, 10, and 10, 13. You go through those, read those, and if you're hearing that voice, don't harden your heart. But you seek God's face and you ask Him. You pray to Him. You ask for forgiveness of your sins of unbelief. And you ask, you invite Jesus into your heart and into your life and into your very person to be your personal Savior and Lord. And then, before you close that prayer, you thank Him for saving you. And then when you get up from there, you find somebody else who hasn't been exposed to the gospel like you've just been exposed to it. And you share those same Roman road verses with them and ask them, are they hearing His voice of conviction that they are a sinner in need of a Savior? Don't harden your heart. You want to bend to His will. You want to obey the command to be saved. You want to receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. You can do it. The gospel says you can. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. So be steadfast and keep on keeping on. Amen? All right. For the rest of us, we'll bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this evening, Lord, and we thank You for this study as we continue to go down this road in Revelation. The Revelation road, Lord, getting closer and closer to Your impending return and ultimate millennial reign, thousand-year reign. We praise You and thank You for it, Lord. We ended chapter 16 tonight. We begin a new chapter 17 as we come back together on Wednesday evening. And, Lord, we pray that You would help those in attendance receive the truth and understand what we're talking about. Give us illumination by Your Holy Spirit. Help us understand as we review and then as we take another bite of new material. Lord, we pray that You'd begin to make these things, continuity, come together in our hearts and our minds so that we have a good understanding of the last days, of what's coming for the world, what's coming for lost humanity. And Lord, may it drive us on and motivate us on to be gospel sharers and seed sowers of the good news of Jesus Christ. We love You, Lord. We praise You and we thank You for all You do for us. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed. Have a great, great week. We'll see you back here on Wednesday night.